Tell me now, do you want it?
Fifth body coming for the Giants. Pressure. Love with time. Waving receivers around. Off the back foot, he launches it downfield. And it's caught by Savion Williams. The rookie comes up huge out there.
Well, the first of a series of incredible throws by Jordan Love. Great playmaking late in the game for the Packers offense as they come from behind and earn a win on the road, 27-20 the final. 33 yards to Savion Williams. Love, the very next play across his body, a throw to Romeo Doubs for a first down, and then 17 yards into the corner of the end zone to find Christian Watson where only he could get it. Just an amazing finish to that game. High-level quarterback play throughout the game for Love and Malik Willis. I really think they may have saved the season yesterday for the Green Bay Packers. And some good news, bad news. We'll dive into it with Jason Wilde, who joins us. Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin. Read his work at channel3000.com. Hi, Wilde.
Hi, guys. How are you?
You doing well. Just sort of reflecting on the day it was for the quarterbacks of the Green Bay Packers. I'm trying not to overstate it. I'm usually pretty measured, especially removed from a game, but It feels to me like the quarterbacks kind of saved the Packers' butt yesterday and, by extension, perhaps even saved the season. Is that looking at it like it was too much? Is that too profound a statement?
Well, as someone who is prone to be overly dramatic from time to time myself, it's probably a little bit over the top, but, boy, they lose that game and they are in some pretty dire straits. And you know, obviously Malik Willis comes through in a big way in the 7 snaps that he played while Love was being evaluated for that shoulder injury, which, I mean, let's be honest, he, as LaFleur put it today, he just looked at him afterward and said, come on, man. Like, you can't put yourself in harm's way that way. But beyond that, you know, I do think that, you know, the reality is that he made some really big time throws when he came back, and Tausch was saying this morning that he thinks it's one of his greatest games he's ever played. That feels a little prisoner of the moment-y, I guess. but still, it was a you know, fantastic performance by him, and obviously those throws that you mentioned. I mean, the Savion Williams throw, is there some luck involved on that one? Probably, right? But it's 3rd and 10. You got to give it a shot, and he's got a little Favre in him with some of the stuff he does. And you know, I agree with you on what you said about the throw to Watson. I mean, you know, as LaFleur was explaining to me today when I asked about it, you know, the safety makes a really good play there, dropping off the tight end to get in position to make that throw a lot more difficult. But that's not what they were expecting. So it looks like he threw it into double coverage, but it really wasn't. That was just a really good play by the safety. So, you know, I talked to Micah Parsons and Xavier McKinney coming into the game earlier in the week, and they both said it's basically a must-win game, and they did. They won, which they obviously absolutely positively needed.
Yeah, I would agree. I just think when you take your time and look at this game, a number of drops. And a lot of people are asking, you know, why can't the offense get going? And when you drop a lot of passes like that, it's tough to keep coming back. But you got to get a Jordan Love credit to keep coming back, even though those things were happening and you never saw him got flustered about it.
No, you really didn't, Gary. And look, I think there's going to be other times when he does get flustered? I mean, yeah, right. I mean, it's an imperfect game, and he's not perfect himself. But you know, I just feel like this team is—they really need for their offensive line to play at a higher level than it has. And I thought yesterday was at least a positive step in that direction. And I don't understand the folks that don't think they need Josh Jacobs and that it allows them to unleash Love more. I don't see it that way. I think Matt LaFleur is very much focused on, all right, what's the best matchup? What's the best play, whether it be a run or a pass against this specific look we're seeing defensively, and then adjust accordingly. In some games, that's going to give Jordan Love a chance to throw it around. And we saw what he, I mean, let's not forget what he did in Pittsburgh, right? 360 yards, 20 consecutive completions. And some games he's not going to have to do that. But there were certainly enough things flawed about the performance, especially dropping potentially four interceptions and only catching one of them, dropping five passes on offense, missing two extra points, getting a Ray Finkel Ace Ventura reference out of the head coach today. That was fun. But they left a lot out there, and I think that's why, you know, especially the dropped interceptions and the dropped passes, like that's the difference between winning the game 27-20 and running away with it and winning like 38-10, and then everybody's looking at them differently today.
Josh Jacobs seems to be week to week or day to day, which I'm really not entirely sure the difference of, to be honest with you. But nevertheless, avoiding surgery for his knee injury, Jason. And tough to say, I suppose, here on a Monday night what his outlook for Sunday looks like. But you got a quick turnaround after that game, Thanksgiving against a quality opponent on the road in the Detroit Lions. Would you be surprised if Jacobs played this weekend against Minnesota?
Well, first of all, great point about the quick turnaround for Detroit, right? Like, I would, you know, if it's a coin flip on whether he should play, I personally would probably say, hey, let Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks handle it against the Vikings. Not that that's not an important game, because it is, and it's the first of three in a row in the division. But I would think you'd really like to have him for Detroit, and you would give yourself a better chance for that. Secondly, Matt LaFleur told us it was a contusion, which I did not go to medical school, but I know what that means. It means a bruise. And so bruises, obviously, they don't need surgery. They don't need braces. They need treatment. They need ice. They need, you know, stem and everything else. But the good news is that he avoided something that could have been worse. The difference between day-to-day and week-to-week, week-to-week usually indicates they're probably not going to play that first week, is kind of the way LaFleur uses that term. But he did not rule out the possibility of Jacobs playing on Sunday. He did make it very clear, however, that he believes that the bruising is the result of them playing on the concrete that they call turf at MetLife Stadium.
Yep. One last thing here. Defensively, I'm a little concerned, Jason. It feels like teams are able to run the football on us, not necessarily at will, but eat up tons of the clock and just keep drives going. And I'm concerned about the possession that the offense can get because of that, and that they can't get off the field.
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate concern. Now, what's weird about it, Gary, is that that happened against Carolina, and that happened yesterday, and in between, they somehow found a way to shut down one of the best running backs in football, a dude that I know he's not having the same year as he had last year, but Saquon Barkley, they shut him down more than some teams have shut down Josh Jacobs this season. So it's a little helter-skelter with them right now, but at the same time, I agree. Like, that's one thing that you would like to see them be doing more consistently, and obviously they were very inconsistent yesterday. At the same time, look, I still look at them and go, they should be a really good run defense. The question I have is, you know, first of all, what has happened to Rashawn Gary?
Yes.
Because he was a largely a non-factor. I think they even played Kingsley Amukbare more than they played him yesterday. So that's one. And then two, you know, is Devontae Wyatt healthy or not? Because, you know, one of the keys to that run defense, in addition to Colby Wooden, is for Wyatt to be playing well. And he just, sort of like last year when he suffered the ankle injury and then was never the same the rest of the year, this year it feels like since he came back from his knee injury he suffered in Dallas, he's been mostly a non-factor. He's just sort of there. If you're going to be a good run defense, and if you're going to be a good defense overall, you need those guys, both of them first-round picks, remember, to be playing at a high level, and I'm not sure either one of them did yesterday.
Check out all of his great work at channel3000.com, including the Packers' look ahead to the quality, some division opponents here coming up here, and the Lions on Thanksgiving, the Vikings before that at Lambeau Field, then the Bears, who are amazingly in first place here with a negative point differential in the NFC North. Wildy and Tausch, 9 to noon tomorrow for the latest on the Green Bay Packers. Wildy, have a great night. Thanks for joining us.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.